mineral, vegetable, animal, human. And just as the difference between vegetable and animal, and animal and human, the difference between Jews and Goyim, which is essentialist, which is essential because they're born with Inyan Eloki, a different type of nature. We likewise saw another essentialist differentiation in the Tanya, which is based on, not on higher and lower, but on sort of good and bad, that the Jews come from the good, their souls come with sparks of the good side of goodness, while the souls of Goyim come down with this natural badness. As opposed to these two essentialist formulations, we have the formulation of the Rambam, which we saw, Makor number 8, who said the difference between Jews and Goyim is educational. It's not essential in how you're born, but it's in what you make of yourself. And the Jews are Jews because they're followers of Avraham Avinu, as opposed to the Goyim, who do not have the enlightenment of the Torah. And this is a very, very fundamental, by the way, Agav, this is a fundamental distinction in many things, not only Jews and Goyim. What are the differences between many different classes of people? Are they essential in that you're born essentially a certain way, or are they a result of the choices, the education, the circumstances, the choices you make for yourself? At least in terms of Jews and Goyim, we have a very clear Machlokas, Kuzari, and the Tanya versus the Rambam. This affects a number of issues. Number one, let's just illustrate the Rambam. The Rambam, see how seriously the Rambam takes a Shita. I think we're up to number 10. Says the Rambam number 10. There are many places where we see that there are differences between Jews and Goyim. Right? So one of them is that Jews are Rachmanim, they Rachmanim. Right? Merciful as opposed to the Goyim. Look at number 10. What did the Rambam say? Ve'ein ha'ach zariyot va'azot mitzuya. We only find cruelty and lack of caring. Ba'akum. Where do we find cruelty? Only among the Goyim. But look what the Rambam says. Ba'akum ovdei avodah zarah. Where do you find cruelty? Among the Goyim who worship idols. What's he hinting at? Why are the Goyim cruel? Ah, because of the influences of their idol worship. Avol zar shel Avraham Avinu, but the descendants of Avraham Avinu, v'hem Yisrael, who are the Jews, she'eshpia lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovat ha-Torah, that Hashem gave them the goodness of Torah, v'tziva otam v'chukim v'shmatim tzadikim, and gave them righteous laws and statutes, rachmanim heim al hakol, have rachmanis on all, meaning, why are the Jews merciful and the Goyim cruel? He's not saying there's no difference between Jews and Goyim. There is a difference. But what's the difference? He says the difference is very clear. Because the Jews have the Torah, which gives them righteous laws and statutes, which teach them to be merciful. And the Goyim have the Avodah Zarah, which teaches them to be cruel. So the Rambam here clearly is saying, yes, there are differences we find in the Makoros between Jews and Goyim, but those are due to education and not to their essential nature. Let's go to number 11. Likewise, we see Al Yavar Mashavticha. Number 11 and 12 are great because they're not about Goyim at all. They're just statements. Stam statements about other things. The Rambam's number 11 is Stam, his statement about Bechir Chavshis. What does the Rambam say? Al Yavar Mashavticha Dover Zesha Omrim Tifshe Umas Olam Rov Goyim in Israel. Don't even let it cross your mind this thing that the foolish Goyim and most of the uneducated Jews say. Shakadosh Baruch goes or other. I mean, this is a historical tidbit. Why does he foolish Goyim and most uneducated Jews? Because in his days, all of the Jewish philosophers held for Bechir Chavshis, just the Jewish masses didn't. But among the Muslims, half the philosophers held to Bechir Chavshis and half didn't. And he calls the half who didn't the Asherite school of thought, Tipshim, because even though they're educated, he thinks they're foolish. But in any case, that's not our point. Don't even let it cross your mind. People say, Shekadosh Baruch goes your law to so that Hashem decrees on someone when he's born, the Yotzadik or Russia, the Yotzadik or Russia, right? Meaning, don't believe this predestination. Don't listen to the Calvinists and the Lutherans nowadays, or the Asherite Muslims in his days, or uneducated people, that you're predestined to be a saint or a sinner. Ain't a Dabrakein, not true. I'll call Adam Roylo, the Yotzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person is fitting to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, or Russia ki Ravam, or a Russia like Yeravam ben Avat, or Chacham or Sachal, wise or foolish, Rachman or Zari, merciful or cruel, Kili or Shua, stingy or generous, V'chein Sharkal Adeus, and the other character traits. What's interesting, the Rambam is talking here about Bechir Chavshis, but what does he say? Kol Adam can be, what can any Adam be? A tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't say Kol Yisrael. Any Adam can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, he's not talking about Jews and Goyim. He's just talking about Chiyuch Chavshis, but he's very clear in his formulations. Any Adam can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. What if he's a Goy? A Goy could also be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He's not born with any essential difference from a Jew. he might be less likely to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, because how is he going to learn the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu? But he could be, he has the same potential as, he might be less likely to realize it statistically, but he has the same potential as a Jew. Likewise, number 12, says the Rambam, V'lo shevet levi bilvad, elo kol ish ve'isha mikol boi olam she nadvaru cho oto ve'vino mada'o li badala modlif ne'ashem. Not only shevet levi, this is the famous Rambam. Why is this Rambam famous? Because of the debate over? What? Over drafting Yeshiva Brachim to the army, right? Because he says, not only, okay, you need the context. Previous halacha says Shevet Levi doesn't go to the army. Okay, not only Shevet Levi, but that's not our point. Not only Shevet Levi, called Ishva Ishva called Bayolim, any individual from anyone who comes to the world, Asher Nadvaruch Oto, whose spirit inspired them, Ve'vino Mado'o, and his intelligence educated him, Lihi Badala Modafe Hashem, to be separate and to stand before Hashem, L'sharto L'ovdo, to serve him. L'deyas Hashem, to know Hashem, halach yosher k'mo shaso, l'kem, and to go straight in the way that Hashem made him, who parked me outside of a row, olach heshbonot ha'arvim, and he took off his shoulders all of the yoke of all the many calculations or bikshu b'nei adam, which people seek out, harizin is kadosh kodesh jashmi, and anyone who leaves the world of gashmis and just wants to serve Hashem, nit kadesh kodesh kadoshim v'yashem chalko, Hashem will be his portion, v'nach lotu li'olam, and his inheritance forever, l'olmi olamim, v'yiz glob olam hazet davar maskelo, and Hashem will give him in this world enough for him. Moshe Zikal, the Kohanim Levium, like he gave the Kohanim Levium. Okay, this is the fascinating Rambam for many reasons. Not only Shevet Levi, anyone who wants to separate from regular Gashmis work and just, you know, be a Kohanim and serve Hashem, Hashem will take care of him. Okay, there's a lot of controversy about this. Does that mean he should or shouldn't go to the army? Does that mean he should ask other people for money or he should wait for Hashem to take care of him? We're not getting to that now. The Rambam's point is very clear. Anyone can be a special Shevet Levi, Kodesh Kadoshim. But who is the Rambam including this? Anyone? Kol Ishva Ishva Kol Bayolam. He doesn't say every Jew. I mean, he's pretty clear. Anyone who comes to the world, like, you're not going to say that's a funny way to say Jews. Anyone who, any Ish who comes to the world, very clearly means any human being. Right? So the Rambam here, clearly, in a context which has nothing to do with Jews and Goyim. But when he just wants to say how anyone has unlimited potential, similar to Makor 11 to 12, he doesn't use any word about Jewish people. He says, by Olam, any human being in the world. So the Rambam thinks, essentially, there's no difference between a Jew and a guy.
Are there any other vision in the Rambam he talks about a halacha that's clearly applicable to Jewish people and he uses the word each or Adam?
I don't think so, but I haven't checked systematically. So you can go home and check.
Would that be a raya against this? Or is this separate from any other halakhic context because of this?
I think whenever he says Adam, he means Adam. And whenever he says all Ish, he means Ish. But if it is, it would have to deal with it. But in any case, 12 says, Mikol Boy Olam. I think that's very clear. That's a unique formulation. Now, someone tell me a medrash of Chazal that would also imply that whether a guy or a Jew, if you do the right thing, you have potential for the highest Kedusha. Anyone know such a medrash of Chazal? Or should I give you the pasuk? You'll tell me the medrash. What? No, lo kam kamosha od. Okay, maybe Vilna was like, that was a unique case. Yikarahi mipninim. Okay, what did the ashram yikarahi mipninim? Yikara, the Torah is more precious than mishanechnatayim than the coin gadol. And what do we say? Asher yasah adam b'chai b'hem, kohanu levim shir elon nemra. I should have put some makor sheet. But rather, Adam. That shows even a Nachri Ha'osik B'Torah is greater than a Kohen Gadol, or is like a Kohen Gadol. Really should be greater, but some of the Midrashi Chazal say like.
So
the Gemara asked that question. It says it means he learned the Torah, the Sheva Mitzvos V'Negach. Okay, that's a technicality. The point is that a guy who's Osik B'Torah can be in the Madriga of a Kohen Gadol. That seems to support the Rambam very much, right? Meaning, it's not as if the Rambam came and found liberal ideas which from his Aristotle he imposed on Chazal. It's a Chazal. It echoes in your head even if you didn't say it to me when I prompted you, right? You remember this Chazal. That even a guy who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. What could be greater than that? Okay, hold on a second. What are the Mekubalim going to do with this? How can a guy who learns Torah be like the one Gadol if he has no potential for goodness in his soul and his soul is purely from the Sitra Afra and can never do a good act? Right? This is, here Pshat and Chazal is the Rambam. You know, on the one hand, you'd say some Chazals, and Chazal say the Jews are all Rachmanim de Rachmanim, the Goyim are cruel. That might sound Pshat like the Tanya. Okay, and the Rambam will say it's because the educational influence is. But over here, where a guy who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol, what could be a clearer statement than that? That a guy can reach the highest levels of Kedusha like the Rambam. What does the Zohar do with this? 13? Say, there's a way to answer it. Rabbi Chidcha, Rabbi Shimon bar Yosef, Ka'azlu b'Urcha, Amr Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chidcha, Hataninan, Nachi v'Osu b'Torah, Kohen Gadol. Okay, he's like Kohen Gadol. My time is Shaklu Kohen Gadol. How can he be like equivalent to the Kohen Gadol? Like Siva, Yakim Eidu v'Yakim v'Torah, Sambi Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavali Yisrael, Kavali Agro Li Almadasi. Hashem only gave it to the Jews to get Tzchar in Olam Haba. Mishalokim Blu Olam Kavali Agro Almadasi. Whoever didn't accept it originally doesn't get Tzchar in Olam Haba. The Hachi Amar Rabbi Kiva, Yisrael Shalom Dol Harsina Mekabel Leschar, Kutim Shalom Dol Harsina Eim Mekabel Leschar. The Ata Amar Nachri Vos Gatar Yehu Kohen Gadol, meaning the Zoris, how can it really be a good learner so it's like Kohen Gadol? Come on, Zoris Kasha the Gemara. Could it be? Amar Leh, Ki Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz Tanina Vadai. No, you know what it means like Kohen Gadol? It means like a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. The Amr of Yosef Yuda, Amr of Yochanan, my dich said Yikorihim Yipnin Mechacham Tzechol Yeshuva. I feel a mamzer tamachacham other than Kohen Gadol Amaretz. A mamzer tamachacham is better than Kohen Gadol Amaretz. I'm a shamish b'tzayim niflim. Meaning, yes, they compare to Gadol and Tzor to Kohen Gadol. Yet to the Kohen Gadol of the other drusha was a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz who's not worth anything. A Gadol and Torah is like a Kohen Gadol who's an Am Haaretz, meaning someone who looks impressive but isn't really worth anything. A coin is the goal of Zamar. Since he doesn't learn Torah, Zavodah doesn't count, he gets no schar. He's a worthless coin gadol. Okay, you get the point. What does Zohar do? Yes, Pashup Shan and Chazal is that a guy who learns Torah is like the coin gadol says, no, like the coin gadol in the statement that Mamzer Tamu Chacham is better than coin gadol Amma Aretz. Like a coin gadol is an Amma Aretz who gets no schar and whose Zavodah doesn't count. That's what a guy who learns Torah is like. Obviously, that's not Pashup Shad in the Medrash Chazal. But we see a very, very strong commitment that will be the Zohar going down to the Tanya, that you can't really see any essential goodness in a guy. Well, according to the Rambam, essentially a guy is the same as Yisrael, has the exact same potential. Obviously, how easy it is to realize their potential, that's very different. The Jew is likely to learn Torah, the guy is unlikely to learn Torah. But if the guy learns Torah, and he's likely to learn God, why should he be different than anyone else? And you'll just tell me another chazal that would support this, right? Remember the Kuzari said, Hashem chose to give the Torah to the Jews, they must be special. And what could you answer that? What did the Medrash say?
He offered it to all of them.
He offered it to all the Goyim. What makes the Jews special? They chose to learn Torah, and the Goyim chose not to learn Torah. But Hashem offered it equally to everyone. Okay, we find another... So here, clearly, in Afkamina, in terms of what's the potential of a... Goy. We find another nafkamina here. For example, in this famous Mishnah of here, Shana Mishnah is very, very clear. Mishnah says in Avos, Chaviv Adam, why is Chaviv Adam? Shnei B'Tselem, created B'Tselem Elokim. Chaviv in Yisrael, why are Yisrael Chavivin? Shnikru Banu L'Makom, and also Shniklam Kli Chemda, they got the Torah. Okay, so Chavim and Yisrael and Chavim Adam, what does that mean? Yisrael is Yisrael, and Adam is Adam. That's Pashup Shat, right? As the number 15, let's skip to the Tosas Yontif, says the Tosas Yontif, Chav Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, Chibi Yaseir, etc. Shenivra B'Tselem, Kama Sada Adam, Pirish Rashi, Chav Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, L'chein Mutal of Lasso Zon Kono, Uvachol Adam Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rashi says, why is Chav Adam Shenivra B'Tselem? Interestingly, it's a Musar Vart, not our topic now. Why is it important to know Chav Adam Shenim B'Tselem? Man is beloved, he's B'Tselem Elokim. So what? Obviously, from a 21st century perspective, we say, therefore he should feel really good about himself and have a positive self-image. Which is also true. Meaning, that's true before the 21st century also. But Rashi says, that's not the main point. The main point is, therefore he should feel responsibility because he's so great. Right? If you're so great, then you have responsibility to live up to your greatness. That's what Rashi says. Therefore, he should do its own kono. But in any case, obviously, Rabbi Akiva meant everyone. After all, he says Adam, not Yisrael. And, Kamosha Yoraya, Shemimenu Hevi, Shemnemer Levnei Noach, Levnei Yisrael of Adam. What's his proof? Kibit Salma Kalam Asas Adam is said about who? That's Parshas Noach. Right? Right after the Mabel. The Pasuk is about Bnei Noach, is about Goyim. The pasuk is about Goyim, the lashon is Goyim. Clearly, everyone was created but Tzelem Elokim. V'rotza Rabbi Akiva l'zachos kol adam afnei noach. He wants to bring his chos to everyone. whether Jew or Goyim. Umar Moli Umar Ram Perkes Milchos Malachim Zel Shonot Siv Moshe Rabbeinu Lashon Pi Agvur Lakam Is Kol Boy Olam Kam Mitzvah Shtav Nei Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded, based on Hashem, to force the whole world to keep Shem Mitzvah Nei Noach. And if not, they're chayiv misa. I'm a kabbalah, someone who can gear tosha of a chomakum. And a goya keeps shem mitzvah, it's called the gear tosha of kalma kabbalah shem mitzvah nishla solson, or he's in chasidu musa olam, he shall chayiv kolam haba. Yeah, meaning everyone's with tell can everyone should do its own kono. So the Jews with its own kono is 613. The goyim's is 7, but then they become a chasid and go to olam haba. Meaning in the end, you know, the same basic idea. Uhushe kabbalah som biyasa osam. Why did so many mefarshim go so far afield? Why are there mefarshim who didn't say he meant kol adam? That's pashut pshat. Some mefarshim said atan kuryim adam. There's a gemara, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. I think it's Rabbi Shimon. Atan kuryim adam ve'ein ilmas ha'olam or ve'ein and nachum kuryim adam. Different yourselves all get messed up. So he says, they say no. Chav adam is only the Jews. Only Jews are called adam. Then there's dochuk about the cello or perish hakasim, and then they have to need. How about the pasuk? Pasuk is about goyim. But it's a clear, pasha way. Kiva wants to straighten all people in the world. Just like Moshe told us to teach him the mitzvahs of the whole world, etc. If the Rambam writes that you have to threaten to kill people who don't keep Shev Mitzvah Noach, then certainly you should just give them words that will explain to them why they're logically obligated to keep Shem Mitzvah Nei Noach and serve Hashem by telling them different tzela. That's like a no-brainer. Laham Shech Libma Moso Konam, to bring your hearts close to do Ritzon Hashem B'chefet Surah Yisgrim L'tova Avein Shech Havir Shem Mitzel Nahoros Nasam Libam. Right? Kizos Toros Ha'adam Lasok. Okay, we got the point. Tosyantav, obviously, everyone's doing Ritzela. Okay, what you live up to, you know, what you accomplished with your tzelem, so not everyone's the same. Jews generally accomplish more than goyim. But everyone has to accomplish, you know, something. Everyone has to use their tzelem olakim to get into Olam Haba and serve Hashem. Exactly how you do it. Okay, there are different levels. Who are these mefarshim who say a goy is not a tzelem olakim? Okay, here, very clear, meaning there is a strong Kabbalistic Masorah. Otherwise, if you look in 14, the Medrash Shmuel says, "Acharkach she'alti zochach for Eloki, Harav Chaim Vital." He asked for Chaim Vital, the Talmud Muvak of the Ari. Levarli is dyked to b'zem miklal chav adam shemusel nchasunei noach olav. To the goyim count and include in the chav adam. Heishali ki bevadei shein rosham mechalal. Of course not. My dinok at adam. So why did it say adam? Why not say Yisrael? If it only means the Jews. Fishu shem chash mishem shal. No, adam is more chashiv than Yisrael. Adam is a greater praise of the Jewish people. They're on the level of Adam HaRishon. Chav Adam doesn't mean humans. It means the Jews who are like Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Shechem Yotzim Yishon Merzal Shufri Shufri De Yaakov Mein Shufri De Adam. That even the beauty of Yaakov is only similar, only an echo of the beauty of Adam. Kevet Shekamer Mein Shufri Nirish Adam HaYosar Chashav. Since Yaakov is only a little like Adam, Adam is more Chashav. Yaakov Nik Yisrael Don't Mein Shufri. Yaakov is called Yisrael is only like Adam. Yadua Ki Ikar Adam Shemo. The Oki Makamachsam Nishma Adam Arishon Yosloman Makamachsam Nishma. Yaakovin is a place where Adam Arishon's soul came from, was higher than the place Yaakovin's soul came from, Kenobli Yodechain, like it's known in Kabbalah. Beachash Adam Arishon Nivra B'Tselem, and since Adam Arishon was created B'Tselem, Kamokan Achrav Kal Adam Yimshoch. Likewise, all the Adams are made B'Tselem. Who are Adams? I know a Kedoshim at Tahorma Sheva Art, only the Kedoshim Tahorma are called Adam, because they live up to Adam Arishon. Bechol Am B'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael are Adam, and they're Nivra B'Tselem. Okay, here it gets a little trickier. I won't read the whole thing, but I will tell you about Pen. You can read it at home. It says, right, where are the two rises talking about Goyim? It says Adam, not Yisrael. It says, you know why it says Adam? Because Adam's a higher description of the Jews. Yisrael is a praise of the Jews. Adam is a higher praise of the Jews. They're like Adam Arishon. But the Pasuk is talking about Bnei Noach. It says, no, what it means is that Kibetel Mekom Adam, Ben Noach, maybe someday someone will descend from him who will be a tzaddik, who will be a Jew, who will live up to Adam. But he's not B'Tselem. Maybe his potential is great-great-great-grandchild. You know, the children of the descendants of Haman learned Torah and Bnei Brak, and the descendants of Sisera learned Torah. Okay. But clearly a guy is not created bit selim. So here we have another clear nafkin in this machlokas, because having interpreted the mission of us, Pashup Shad is clearly like the Tosfos Yontif. Everyone's Nivra B'Tselem, but nonetheless, there are those who are Nidchak to say it means not Nivra B'Tselem.
Wouldn't it does not be considered then his, like he wouldn't, his children that eventually were Mizgai aren't really his children then?
Yes, so he goes through a whole thing, says, but nonetheless, the context is, if you kill someone, you're Chayav Misa, because they're B'Tselem Elokim. So that means if you kill someone, you chayv misa, because they might have had a descendant who would have been B'Tselem Elokim, and now you prevented that guy from being born, so it's like you killed that descendant. So even if they're not like mityaches after him, still, you like prevented someone who would have a B'Tselem Elokim from being born.
Like just technically, practically?
Yes, practically.
Doesn't that imply that if you kill someone who's not fertile, then kill a man who's not fertile, then you're like fine?
Yes, but I mean, I don't know how practical that is, meaning you never know, right? Go prove that someone can never have a kid. It's very hard. After all,
I mean, if he's like,
who thought Avram and Sarah would have a kid?
What if he's like...
What if he's a stress? Okay, good question. Then Sarah Ian. I'll leave that. Then it's Sarah Ian. Agav the Maral here takes a middle approach, number 16. He says, the Afsha Amar Chav Ha'adam Ein Zekol HaKol Min Adam. Chav Adam doesn't include everyone. Ki kvar amar zal ki atam kriyu Adam. Ein amar skorla. He also says only the Jews are called Adam. Ki lu shleimus habriya shel Adam befrat halu shov alom. The perfection of Bria, which is specific for Adam, is for the Jews alone. Kasher b'yam b'pam harvi. Mashir shol befrat nekriyat Adam. Only the Jews live up to the perfection of Adam. Hu dover barma o very clear. The afki ma'ilu zos eni rak nishol v'vav. Even though Svandri is only for the Jews, amar al zeh chaviv ha'adam lo mechim Yisrael. So why did it say chaviv Adam, not chaviv Yisrael? No, he takes a compromise. He says, it's talking about all human beings. He says, a big difference. Because even though only the Jews have the exact level of Adam, there is also a level of Adam of Tzel Malokim in the Umos as well. Okay, he tries to have some in between. He says, of course, there's a Tzelim. And everyone's called Adam on some level, but the true realization of Tzelem Adam is only B'Yisrael. Okay, in the end, he ends up taking a more Kabbalistic perspective. The fascinatingly here, look at this.
I actually have a marker. I don't know if it will write anything, but it's worth a try. If here we have, what's the difference between Jews and Goyim? So here we have the difference is essential. We have the Kuzari that says it is different levels, and we have the Tanya of the Zohar who says it is good versus evil. Or do we have no? It is not essential, but rather let's call it educational. Here we have the Rambam. What is some of the nafkaminas we've seen today? Number one, how do we explain different midos, like the Rambam talks about cruelty, etc. So here you would say it's pashut, it's essential. Well, the Rambam says, I mean, this is basically shita. No, it's educational, which is exactly what he said, because the Torah teaches them the right way. How about the potential of Goyim? So here we have very clear, the Zohar says, basically not. Even if Goy learns Torah, the Gemara is not trying to praise him. The radical reinterpretation, the Gemara is trying to criticize it. Well, the Rambam says, unlimited. We also discussed what about Tzelem Elokim. Here you might say, like the Rav Chaim Vital says they don't have Tzelem Elokim. The Rambam clearly say, like the Tosfos Yontif, that, like the Pashup Shat,
that. I mean, Pashup Shat is very, very clear here. Tosfos Yom Tov, you see how upset he is that people are taking this out of Pshuto. Okay, when somebody has a philosophical Shita, they take things out of Pshuto.
You know, what would the Kuzari say? I'm not sure. He might say like Rav Chaim Vital, or he might say like the Maharal, that it is a partial Tzelem Elokim, you know, maybe
it's a partial level. Here's the Nafkamina, which is going to make us, you know, perhaps see the other side of the Rambam. Here's a great Nafkamina. What about a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah? What is a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah better than a guy? I'm not asking in a technical halachic sense, in terms of tefisas, kiddushin, etc. You know, okay, those are technical points. In a philosophical level, is a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah better than a guy? Okay, I think the Guzari would say, obviously he's better than a guy. He has a Nyan Eloki. Maybe he doesn't live up to it, but he's clearly very different. The Tanya would say, of course, his neshama inside might have been encrusted with all kinds of schmutz, right? But it's fundamentally chelak aloka mimal. What should the Rambam say about a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah? Is he better than a guy? Or not, right? What does the Rambam say, in fact? Right, here's the part where, like, okay, a lot of modern, you know, it's funny, like, when it comes to the Goyim, the Rambam's the liberal. I think he's also logical. But when it comes to the non-from Jews, all of a sudden, right, the Hasidim are liberal. Right, oh, we see the Kedusha in every Yid deep down inside. What's the Rambam going to say, 17? We all know the Mishnah. Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelik Yolam Haba. All Jews have a chelik olam haba, and who doesn't have a chelik olam haba? A heretic, right? Who denies these principles of faith. Now, technically, there's a grammatical problem, not a grammatical, semantic problem in this Mishnah. All Jews have a chelik olam haba, and who doesn't have a chelik olam haba? Okay, someone who denies the principles of faith. But what about all Jews having a chelik olam haba? Isn't the Mishnah contradicting itself? So what would we all say? We'd all say, yeah, but it means an exception. Right? For example, if I were to say, all Shanabek guys are going on a Tiyol on Wednesday. Tai K is staying in Yeshiva. You would say, okay, I didn't speak B'diktuk, because now it's not true, all Shanabek guys. What I meant is accept. All Shadabek is going to Yol, except Haikei, who's staying in Yeshiva, right? I could get away with that.
What if you said that when he says Yisrael, that he's only referring to people with this, the label of Yisrael?
Good. But if you want to be medactic in the Mishnah, what would you have to say? Technically, if I say all Shadabek guys are going to Yol on Wednesday, Haikei is staying in Yeshiva, what technically have I just said?
Tai's not a
Shadabek guy, right? Because all Shadabek guys are going on to Yol. So maybe what I've really said is, a Jew who doesn't believe in the Torah is not a Jew. Says the Rambam 18, Kashiyu kayam lo adam kol yisodas halalu ve'emunasu ve'hamamitis hariyu nichlas kol Yisrael. When a Jew believes the Yisodos, the 13 Ikarim, and truth, then he's called Yisrael, v'chov v'lo'ava l'cham malav, you have to love him and have mercy on him, v'chov v'ashtiv ha'shem osanu tzal zem, and av v'na'ach, and all the brotherhood and love, and command us to do to each other, afil osa v'ashe yachol yisman haveros, machas tavaso, even if he does haveros, because he had a taiva, this gabbas Yitzharah, and his Yitzharah overpowered him. He gets punished for his rebellion, but he's a chelik olam haba. He's a sinning Jew. But someone doubts one of the 13 Ikarim. He left the category, kofar be'ikar, nikra min v'apikoros v'kotz v'netios v'chov v'lesnoso l'shmido v'olav omar, etc. But what is the Rambam saying? He's very clear. Someone who believes in the Torah is Nechlas L'Klal Yisrael. Someone who doesn't believe in the Torah is Yotzei Min HaKlal. What's the Rambam saying? A Jew who doesn't believe in the Torah. Okay, the Rambam here is somewhat a Jew who believes in the Torah, but his Yitzharah overpowers him. Since the Rambam is a big intellectual, he can say, as long as you believe in the Torah, even if you do the wrong thing sometimes, you're redeemable. Right? Because your intellect is okay. But a Jew who doesn't believe in the Torah, right? So what about a Jew who doesn't accept the Torah? So, for the Kuzari and for the Mikubalim, he should still
be special as a Jew. He might be a Russia, but for the Rambam, very clear. He's not called a Jew. Again, I'm not talking about in the technical level. But says the Rambam, he's not called a Jew. Why is he not called a Jew? Because what makes if the difference between Jew and a guy is educational, and the guy doesn't believe in the Torah, and the Jew doesn't believe in the Torah, then what makes the Jew any different than a guy? For the Rambam, it's really not clear. If a Jew has nothing, no connection to Torah, he's not really different than a guy philosophically. Because, now, it's an issue of question, so why is he halachically of any differences? And the Rambam says, and the Nochi v'haftu'ech kamocha, etc., etc. Meaning, there is no special connection to him. Maybe the Rambam would say, yeah, there's some technicalities remain. Meaning, it's still tfisas kedushin. Why? Because, you know, you can't read everyone's mind before you see if they're kedushin or tofes or not. That's just impractical. So you have to have certain low plug and certain, you know, just practical rules to apply. But fundamentally, there's nothing special about him. He's a human being. It's Helen Elokim. But there's nothing that makes him different than a guy if the difference is educational.
We're not saying that the Rambam would say that it's not that he's not called a Jew, it's that he's not called a Yisrael. I mean, he goes Jew, Yisrael, Adam. And then he just doesn't get the special status within being a Jew of Yisrael.
Okay, you could differentiate between being a Yehudi and being Yisrael. I'm not convinced that in the language of the Rambam that's such a significant difference. You know, I'd want you to go home and prove to me that the Rambam has another word for a Jew besides Yisrael that he thinks is significant. Like, the Rambam never says Yehudim.
Never?
I don't mean never. You'll find him saying it once someplace, but, you know.
Does the Kuzari use the word Yehudim?
I don't remember. But the Rambam, Yehudim, is not a big word in the Rambam. I don't know, go Bar-Ilan it, see what you come up with. But I'm not convinced. Okay, here we have another nafkamina. The last nafkamina was something we already discussed at great length last time, which is, how about gerim? What do we make of gerim, right? For the Rambam, that was the letter we read in number 8. For the Rambam, pashut. Exactly same as a born Jew, like gerim. Now again, I know there are technicalities in terms of srara, etc. Meaning, there are political limitations. For political reasons. That I'm not denying. When I say exactly the same, I don't mean there are no halachic differences. Yes, a ger can't be a king. That's a very wise political rule. But philosophically, a ger is the same as any other Jew. Right? Even in America, the ger can't be a king, right? If you're not born in the U.S., or at least a citizen or whatever, you can never be president. As a matter of fact, even if you were, then someone could say you weren't. And cast aspersions on your presidency. Although they won't get terribly far. For the Rambam is very clear. But as we saw, for the Kuzari says, what does the Kuzari say? Nope. Can't be a Navi because he has no Inyan Eloki. Yeah. A Ger can have a high Madrega, but still limited Madrega because, you know, how great can he be if he's starting as a different level of reality? And within the Mekubalim, we saw two Drachim, right? One of which is more mainstream Derech. You could say, really, Gera should be impossible, right? Meaning, really, you get a problem that it should be impossible, because if there's no goodness, how can a goy be a ger? And then we had two answers. One was the chida, was every ger was always a Jewish soul. You know, you're right, a goy can't be a ger. A ger is always a Jewish soul. Or the other answer, which we have from the Zohar, which is that he gets a new soul, but as we pointed out in the Zohar, it's tachas kanfei shechina, right? Asher bat lachasot tachas knafav, not for the guf of the shechina. So here he would end up same place as the. Yeah, it's a good soul. It's a Jewish soul, but a lower level soul. It's a soul from the kanfei shechina, from the wings of the shechina, not from the heart of the shechina. Okay, and this is a concrete nafkamina. I think we read together 19. We ran a little out of order, if I recall correctly, which is the whole question of, should you marry a ger? or Giorit, or whatever the case may have been, right? Someone wrote, someone who is not Hasidic, wrote to Rav Menashe Klein, saying, you know, how can you tell people to avoid marrying a ger? What happened to the 36 times the Torah said you should love a ger? Yes, you should love a ger, that's not the same as marrying them. You shouldn't get too close to them. You should love them from a distance. Okay, this is a not direct nafkamina. Okay, he's very chassid. It's a direct nafkamina. Here we would say, you know, we would argue, like whoever the shoal was. I don't remember. I don't think it's written here. Argue on the Mishnah Halachos. But if you said that a ger is really a lower level, then maybe you would agree with the Mishnah Halachos. You would say, still, why would you want to marry a ger if, you know, the ger's potential is fundamentally lower? Although, I'm not sure you'd have to agree with the Mishnah Halachos. You could say, still, there's nothing wrong with marrying them. You know, not everyone has to be perfect. You know, they're not fundamentally from the wrong side. But okay, that could be a tremendous nafkamina.
Could you have another nafkamina about, like, whenever Chazal say, like, don't eat bishalakrim or something? So for the Rambam, that's some, like, that stress, you know, we don't want intermarriage, and everyone agrees that intermarriage is a problem, versus for, like, the Kuzari and the Tanya, you could say...
Okay, that's very true. I'm not sure if it's a nafkamina of this question, or perhaps. That's a good point. Meaning, Kayadua, right, for example, I once asked a Hasidish fellow what he thought of Moshe's shu about, you know, Cholav Akum nowadays. What does Moshe say? Chazal asked Cholav Akum because... Why do they ask for Cholav Akum? Because it might be from a non-kosher animal, like a pig or a donkey or a camel. Okay, he goes to all the things. How do we know nowadays? Is that good enough? What level of yediyah do you need, etc.? You know, and the chassid said, I don't know what Rosh is talking about. Like, you think that's what's wrong with Cholav Akum? Cholav Akum is the klipos. What? You're going to nurse from the Shitra Achra? Like... You know, how can you drink the challah from the Sitra Achra, from the Klipos? You know, why would you want a heter in this? And it's actually fascinating. So I know a big Rav from the Soloveitchik family who, you know, says, all his kids, they can have, like, regular, like, non-Chol Yisrael till bar bat mitzvah. You know, and then maybe they'll be machmer. Right, which makes a lot of sense. Okay, if it's a gzera, so when you're chayv mitzvos, maybe you're a little more machmir. Thulz Chassidus Shifreni says, Adrabba, when they're little and you don't know how they're going to grow up yet and they're subject to all the environmental... Everyone knows, right? You have something that might have too much mercury in the tuna fish or whatever the latest scare is. The adults may love it, but you keep it away from the little kids because they're still young and growing and they need to develop properly. Adrabba, for sure you wouldn't give your kids these klipos. Who knows? They won't be formed when you grow up. Mainly, you're already 60 years old. A few klipos, you'll at least be Shomer Shabbos. It won't get you off. You won't go off the derech. You know, it's just different ways of looking at things. You're right. There's the difference between a mystical way of looking at things. Ultimately, there's the difference between a rationalist viewpoint and a mystical viewpoint, right? What is wrong? Is there something mystically wrong, or at least mystically missing? Or is it a rational matter of just choices and education of doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing? Absolutely. Now, I just want... Yeah.
Doesn't Ramoshi also have what you were saying in, like, school environments, it's good to be makbid on?
Yes, but not for that reason. He said in a school environment, it's good to be makbid because part of chinuch is chinuch to be machmir lifnim yishur sadin lechavti, you know, even when it's not absolutely necessary. And therefore, it's a good part of chinuch. He doesn't say because it makes a difference on how well you learn Torah. That's not the way he looked at things. Again, I'm not necessarily saying he would have denied it, but he would never have, like, looked at things that way. You know, very often, you know, people, I'm not going to deny, you know, what someone says for whatever reasons, but that doesn't mean that it's actually part of your toda'ah, that it's part of the way you look at the world. Okay, I just want to end with an interesting point about Rav Amital. Rav Amital, he used to love to teach Kuzari. And it's fascinating. Rav Amital was actually generally known for being quite liberal in the, you know, more old-fashioned sense of the world of, you know, accepting and valuing different kinds of people. And he loved this Kuzari. And he pointed out that there really, as we have on the board, there are two different ways to look at it. If you want to see essential differences between Jews and Goyim, he loved appreciating all the Jews, right? That part of Hasidus, you know. Every Yid is holy. Every Yid is special. Every Yid is born on a very high Madrega. And he pointed out there's two ways of saying there's essential differences between different kinds of people. One is to say it in a way of antithesis, opposition. Well, there's us and there's them, and it's us versus them. He says, that's not the Kuzari at all, right? The Kuzari is not us versus them. The Kuzari is, okay, different ranks, as it were, different levels of stature. And interestingly, the Kuzari used, I asked you to remember that phrase, either you did or you didn't, but one of the mushals he uses is he calls Sgula and Lev, the heart, right? He says, those are the Nyan al-Kir are the Sgula and the Lev. What's interesting in the Mashal of Heart, you see the same thing in 23, by the way, if I can skip for a little. Omer Chizari, Hakuz Achavar, Yisrael, Be'umos, Kalev Be'ivarim, Kalev Be'ivarim, like the heart among the limbs. What's interesting about the heart? Is the heart sort of on the other side, you know, as opposed to the limbs, fighting with the limbs? What's the heart's job?
Like blood to the limbs.
Right, exactly. Meaning the heart keeps all the limbs going. It's the heart's job to nourish the limbs by pumping them blood. Rav Amital loved that part of the Kuzari. He says, yes, the Jews have a fundamentally different role, but that fundamentally different role is not to be on the other side and make war on the Goyim. That fundamentally different role is to nourish the Goyim, is to serve as an Orla Goyim. And for Rav Amital, the difference between the Rambam and the Kuzari became very slight. Because in the Rambam, well, sort of, we're all in this together. We're all just trying to, like, spread this knowledge of Torah. And for the Kuzari, even more so. Well, if we're the heart, then we have, of course, we can't neglect our responsibility. We are put here to nourish all the different nations of the world. And I think Rav Amital took that as well from Rav Kook. If you look at Rav Kook, number 20, what does he say? Rav Kook says, Hahevdel Shabain Hanashama. I would say Rav Kook goes in the Derech of the Kuzari here. 20. Hahevdel Bein Hanashama Yisraelit Atzmiyutam Avaya Pneimiyim Shifatat Gunatav Evdatav Veinishmat Avim Kulam Lekol. It's late. Okay, Dargo Tehem Hu Yoter Godel Yoter Amok Behevdel Shabain Nefshad Nefshad Vahema. Well, the difference between a Jewish soul and the soul of all the Goyim is not the same, is greater than that between a human and an animal. So the difference between a human and animal is only quantitative, but between the Jews and the Goyim is a qualitative difference. But what does he say, therefore? All of humanity should come together into one family. And then we'll lose, right? Meaning in here, you know, he says, all we need to do is unite, and that'll solve all the problems of the world. Right? Marx thought we should be communists and solve all the problems of the world. He thought we should just unite under the banner of spirituality and serve and solve all the problems of the world. There won't be fighting, there won't be bad videos. But how do we get there? It needs this concentrated goodness, which can therefore improve the whole world, all of humanity, with the rainbow, the riches of the diversity and the nature of each nation. What's going to be the glue that connects to the unique good midos and diversity of midos of each nation of the 70 nations of the world and connects them together? That's the job of the Jewish people, which is like a tremendous storehouse, a spiritual storehouse, which has all the good midos. Okay, what's he saying? The job of the Jews is to be a concentrate and combine that unique goodness of all the 70 nations. What could bring the 70 nations together in the world? What could bring everyone in the world together in the banner of goodness and unity? Some other nation that has the common denominator of goodness of all the nations and can link each nation to each other and only the good sides. If every nation has good sides and bad sides, there's one nation that has the good sides of all the nations that can be that bridge and that glue that brings all of humanity together. And that's the job of the Jewish people, according to Rav Kook. According to Rav Kook, the job of the Jewish people is, and give me a second,
The Jewish people are unique. What's their uniqueness? They have the ability to bridge between goodness and all the nations of the world and bring all the nations of the world together. Let me just read one or two other things. 21 says the Rav Kook of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bachar Yisrael Lodi Al Yadam Kedushatam V'Tatam Olam. Why does Hashem choose the Jews? Through them to spread His Kedusha and His truth in the world. Bachar L'Skula Umash Tiyah Shleima V'Nyana V'Shleima V'Nisgava Harbi Yotri Masha Efter L'Min Anosh L'Shtam V'Tativo U'Motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Mukhan Nimlozeh Soni Baruch Tamid Lashbiya Tov V'Shleima S'Kala Mukhan. Alkein Halot Yisrael B'Malot El Yonu Yotri Mikol Adrach V'Sha Efter L'Yot Mitzad HaSeich L'Anoshi Alkein Yisrael El Yonu El Kogoy Ha'aretz What does he say? Hashem wanted to bring goodness to the world, so he chose the Jews to represent the highest level you could have. And let's at least get through 22. Says Rav Kook in 22, Kfar Amarti Mechatavit. Shemitzidam Shal Yechidei Askula says, I wrote you my letters. From the perspective of the elite, of the highest level, there's no difference in different nations. From my perspective, I'm Yechidei Skula, right? He's saying, a guy who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. Everyone's equal. Even Chazal once said, let's greet our colleague, the philosopher. So why do we say Knesset Yisrael is so great and the Jews are so much greater than everyone else? That's the unique godly nature that's found in the general soul of the Jewish people, the neshama klalit. And likewise, it's mitgalen every individual in every particular way. Here he says something very clever. He says, in what way are the Jews fundamentally so different than the goyim? In their neshama klalit. The klal of the, we know for Rav Kook, right, as opposed to other philosophers, Klal Yisrael is much more important than the Yachid. Every individual Jew is no different than individual Goy. You are what you make of yourself. But every individual Jew is unique because he partakes in the Neshama Klalit of the Jewish people. What is interesting about this? So what if a Ger converts? Then he joins the Neshama Klalit of the Jewish people and becomes the same as everyone else. Meaning, you can have an essential difference between Jews and Goyim, but if the essential difference is on the level of nation, not on the level of individual, then any individual who joins the nation will partake in that essential difference. And I think that here he would diverge with the Kuzari. I never found what he says exactly in these words, but I think what Rav Kook would say is, I'll pee Rav Kook. He would say, no. Since the uniqueness is in the Neshama Klalit, a ger can become the same as any other Jew. Okay, I'm saying this, he's not saying this, but I think he would deny this nafkamina. Yes, there's an essential difference. It's even greater than the difference between Chayim and Dabir, or Tzomeach and Chayim. Because those are all different levels of physicality, and this is spirituality. But he would say, the difference that every Jew is born different. Every Jew is born connected to the Klal Yisrael. And it's Klal Yisrael that has the difference. Why? Because Klal Yisrael, as a nation, has the midos that connect to all the Umos HaOlam. I think for what Rav Kook is doing here, he's taking the Kuzari, but developing the sort of universalistic aspect of the Kuzari. Yes, the Jews are unique. But it's not that every Jew is better than every guy. It's that the Jews as a whole are greater. And why are the Jews greater? Not because they have something different than the Goyim, but because they have something in common with all the Goyim. They have something in common with each nation, each culture and Mesorah of Goyim, they have something in common with the best aspects of that nation. And therefore, they have the ability to be the glue that binds all the nations together in unity and to Hashem. I think the last thing is the most important part of Rav Kook. Maybe we'll end with Rav Kook's, what does all this mean to us? I'm sorry, and then I'll take a question. What does all this mean to us? Here's the famous question. Should we be universalistic or particularistic? You know, I'll share my two cents with you. I connect much more to the Rambam's rationalist perspective. It seems to be more pashut pshat in most places in Chazal and correspond to my experience of reality. But nonetheless, you still get the same question. Should we be particularistic or universalistic? On the one hand, if we're just universalistic, oh, everything's the same, then we lose our whole identity as a people and we lose our Mesorah. If we're just particularistic, then we're being selfish and we're not caring about other people. So what's the answer? Should we be particularistic? But then we lose sight of the value of our Mesorah, or should we be universalistic, but run the danger of losing sight of the value of our Mesorah, or should we be particularistic and run the risk of being selfish and uncaring about the world? Says Rav Kook, classic Rav Kook fashion, guess which side he's going to pick? Both. Says Rav Kook, not that he's going to pick both sides. Both sides are really the same. You can't be universalistic without being particularistic. And you can't be particularistic without being universalistic. Says Rav Kook, the 24, he says, we'll have to skip the rest of the 22, broadness of heart that sometimes wants to include the whole world, the whole humanity, and the special love for Bnei Yisrael, someone who's so broad-minded, so liberal, oh, I love everyone the same, needs to be checked out. Why? If someone recognizes and keeps the recognition of the special Kedusha of Yisrael, if someone believes so firmly in the uniqueness and specialness of Bnei Yisrael, and they're so committed to the holiness of Bnei Yisrael, that it just spreads out to them, they extend it to the Goyim as well, that's Avram Avinu, Avram Goyim. Means if you recognize how great the Jewish people are, and therefore can recognize that, hey, that could connect to the whole world, and we can bring the whole world along with us, that's the meat of Avram Avinu. But some universalism is an extension of our pride and our particularism. And then that's Avram Avinu. Sometimes universalism comes from weakness and darkening of the light of the Kedusha of recognizing how special the Jewish people are. But our sit, then it's poisonous. Then it's nothing. Meaning, if you're universalistic because no one's special, because you're not special, so neither is anyone else, that's a poison. Then you're a universalistic nihilist. That's not helpful at all. Right? The tochen pulasa mali hiras nora, and you're just going to be destructive. Shetzarthus, rachmenik, and they sharm wood. Keep away from that like a sharm wood, etc. Right? Meaning, if you're universalistic because no one's special, so everyone's equal, then yeah, you're universal. You believe in universal nothingness. That's poison. If you're universalistic because you recognize how special and holy the Jewish people are, and you're like, and why can't that spread to everyone? Then that's the universalism of Avraham Avinu, right? Let's just briefly summarize 25. It's a beautiful piece. Yeshanam tzaddikim ka'ela. There are some tzaddikim shem gedolim batzumim ma'od who are so great she'en yichol matzamtzei atzom kness yolvan. They can't only love kness yolvan. They're too great. They do the dogim is shofar and satobat kolam. They want goodness for the whole world. When we come back, we have sure make nukudat ma'prima davka b'kness yisrael. However, they're essentially connected to Bnei Yisrael. They say, Knesset Yisrael, they're attached to all Tov Mu'ul Yisrael. Because that's the concentrated form of goodness for the whole world. How do we get goodness to the world? The goodness of the Jewish people can extend to the world. By bringing up the Jewish people, you can extend that to the world. Just skip to the last three lines. These tzaddikim elyonim, chassidei elyon, hakshurim ba'avos lachesed v'orav elyonim ve'emes, who are connected through chesed ava to truth, midosam hagdola, they're great midos, midas hachesed, nisgav, they're tremendous chesed, v'dorshim tamit tovas kol ha'mitzvot, so they want every creature, every human being, good for every human being. The great tzaddikim care about every human being in the world. When we talk to Rishas Zohem, it's asking be'isek nimrats, v'kesher nishmati, neflaps, or kem shol shol, because they want goodness for the whole world, they worry about the goodness of the Jewish people. Meaning, exactly, to be a real universalist, you need to be a particularist. To be a real particularist, you need to be a universalist. For a cook, you should care about Bnei Yisrael more than anyone else, because you care about the whole world, and Bnei Yisrael will bring good to the whole world. That's their job. There's no steer between particularism and universalism. If you don't care about Bnei Yisrael, you can't care about the world. And if you don't care about the world, there's no good justification for caring about Bnei Yisrael. Rav Kook, and this is certainly Rav Amital's understanding of the Kuzari, it was really one of his favorite philosophy books, Rav Amital. He understood, yes, the Kuzari is making an essential difference between Jews and Goyim, but that essential difference is not one of nigud, one of antithesis, is not one of, now, again, obviously people can look at it more skeptically if they wish, but he would say, you know, this is classic particularism and universalism nowadays. You can't believe in universalism if you don't have something that you want to extend, something you believe in. Universalism without particularism is universalism nothingness. That's Rav Kook. Believing the Kedusha of Am Yisrael and then want to extend that to the whole world, that's universalism, that's a positive. That's universalism with content. And he says that's exactly why Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael and created them, in order to be the link, the glue, that brings out the best in everyone else and is able to bring everyone else to their ultimate geula. Okay, a lot more to be said about this, but here we've seen some basic approaches to the nature of the difference between different human beings, Jews, Gerim, and Goyim, etc., particularism versus universalism. And Rav Kook, I think, has a very attractive and logical approach to particularism and universalism, which has its roots in the, which definitely has its roots in the philosophy of the Kuzari, the Lev Sheva Ivarim.
Do any of these models speak to why the non-Jews keep on killing us?
They do not speak to why. Rav Kook, I don't know if he ever talks about why the non-Jews keep wanting to kill us. It's not really his kind of thing. It's a great question. You know, for the Mekubalim, it's obvious, because they're evil souls in the Sitra Achra. Of course they want to kill goodness, right? That's a double pashut. For everyone else, why do the non-Jews always want to kill us? It's actually a great mystery, meaning, let's say I'm a secular person. Why does everyone always want to kill the Jews? It's a great question. When I was a kid, there was some guy who had like this late night TV show, and he would sing these funny songs. And one of his songs, say he talked about how everyone hates everyone, you know, and the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, Jesus. And everybody. And the refrain was, "Everybody hates the Jews." It's a great mystery. Alpi the Zohar and the Tanya, it's obvious why. I'll be everyone else. It's not so clear. Why does everyone always want to kill the Jews? Like, okay, so maybe they have bad midos because they worship idols. Why don't they just kill the Jap? Why doesn't everyone want to kill the Japanese? Why doesn't everyone want to kill, I don't know, the Norwegians? I don't know. It's a good question. You know, I'll tell you what Nietzsche says. You know, he says, well, because they make everyone feel guilty. And when someone makes you feel guilty, you'd rather kill them and get rid of them so you don't have to feel guilty anymore. Now, Nietzsche might have thought that's actually a good thing to do. Meaning, because he didn't believe in feeling guilty. But, you know, yesh b'zemashu could be they, you know, it could really be the reason is, you know, everyone wanted to kill the Jews because the Jews were onto something and they sensed it in some level. And they said, let's get rid of these people before they make us feel like we're wrong. But I have no idea. I have no idea why everyone wanted to kill the Jews. I assume the secular answer why everyone wanted to kill the Jews is just because the Jews have great business genes and were always successful and made a lot of money, so people were jealous of them. But, you know, I don't know, it's not a particularly satisfying answer.
Do any of these models talk about how to go about being Or Le Guin without making Le Guin want to head up to Or?
Is
that at all part of that?
Right, no, I totally hear that. Meaning, I would say not in terms of very, very specific directives, etc. But the real answer is that I don't think the answer to how to be an Or Le Goyim, meaning what you're hinting at is maybe the Goyim always hated the Jews because the Jews thought they were better than everyone else. And now it's a little unclear because lots of people thought they were better than everyone else. Meaning most groups have thought they were better than everyone else and not everyone hated them. So I'm not sure if that's a full answer, but maybe you could say, the Goyim always killed the Jews, the Jews thought they were better. So how do we beat all the Goyim without making them feel like we feel are better, we're better, and making them hate us, even though I'm not sure that's the right explanation. Meaning, Muslims always thought they were better than non-Muslims, and not everyone didn't always want to kill the Muslims. As a matter of fact, sometimes, but not statistically more than anyone else. You know, the Japanese always thought they were better than everyone else. You know, and not everyone always wanted to kill the Japanese. I mean, it's not such a great hesmer. But I think the answer is going to be not in terms of specific laws and directives, but in terms of attitude. Meaning, if you have a Rav Kook attitude, then the Goyim aren't going to want to kill you. I mean, they might or might not, but at least you're not going to cause that. Right? You never know. But so I think the answer is your attitude. How do you look at the relationship between the Jews and the Goyim? If you look at the relationship of the Jews and the Goyim as your love for the Jewish people overflows and includes
and extends to everyone else, because you build on your particularity and extend that universally, then that's not going to cause people to be anti-Semitic and want to kill you. So maybe that's part of the answer. But I, you know, I'm not bringing this down to the level of specific directives.
Wait, if that's the case, okay. How...
We should let people go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone can go to sleep, but everyone wants to ask questions, use questions. A lot of food for thought here.
And the Beretz Hashem next week, we'll pick up with a new topic.